From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. After a week of intense debate, the Senate passed an immigration bill yesterday. The legislation would make millions of people living illegally in the United States eligible for citizenship. The bill also reflects President Bush's goal of creating a guest worker program, but fallout is expected. House Republicans oppose the bipartisan measure. They passed a much tougher bill in December. Both chambers will have to find a compromise before a final bill will be sent to the president for signature. We get reaction now from two guests who are regularly featured on this program. On our roundtable, Marcelo Suarez Orozco is co-director of the Immigration Studies at New York University and co-founder of the Harvard Immigration Project. And Pedro Noguera is a professor at the Steinhardt School of Education, also at NYU. Both men helped lead a conference in New York yesterday titled Rethinking Global Migration, New Realities, New Opportunities, New Challenges. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hello, Ed.
Hi, Ed. Good to be with you.
We'll get to the conference in just a moment, but let's talk about this Senate bill. Pedro, let me start with you. Voted on yesterday, 62 up, 36 down. A lot of concern given, quite frankly, on both sides. Talk to me about the measures and what you think of the bill.
Well, I think given the rhetoric in the country that we're hearing, in terms of particularly given the extreme kind of measures that are in the congressional bill, that the Senate bill ends up looking far more moderate and reasonable, although it contains several problems as well because of, I think the guest worker program really doesn't begin to resolve the ongoing dilemma we have about the undocumented in this country. But it still looks more reasonable. I think Bush is even looking more reasonable these days in terms of his approach. The real question is, can he lead his own party, and can he begin to change the kind of very extreme measures that we are seeing now coming from Congress and elsewhere?
Marcelo, proponents will suggest the House version has more teeth. Critics will suggest that it is too harsh. The Senate bill has a border security, a guest worker program, a provision that back taxes have to be paid, a fine will have to be paid, as well as the idea of you must learn English.
That's the case, Ed. And as Pedro suggested, now the devil will dwell in the details of how precisely moving forward we're going to, for example, deal with the perhaps up to 5 million people that under the Senate bill would really have to either leave the country and check in a port of entry before reentering the United States, and including up to about a million people who would have to go back to their countries and apply from overseas. And it's not at all clear how that would be managed. So the good news is that there is more of a broader opportunity here to address immigration systemically as an issue rather than the House bill, which would have only introduce new border control measures.
So, Pedro, the dirty word, if you will, that's been thrown up consistently, at least from critics, is amnesty, rewarding illegal behavior, some suggest, that it is not a path to citizenship. Is this going to be the red herring when you talk about the compromise of this bill?
Well, in a way, it's not amnesty. Let's call it amnesty light. There are several steps that will need to be taken before the up to 7 million people that have been in the United States over 5 years, who can pass a language exam, a security check, who pay their taxes, who pay their fines. So it really is a complex process, and how this will be managed will require really careful thinking, careful planning, and first and foremost, can the Republicans in the House make a deal and agree to a deal given labor market needs in the U.S. side and given the reality that today we have 11 to 12 million people in our country without papers?
Pedro, the idea that many are concerned about a provision that talks about the number of years you've been in this country and whether or not you'll be allowed to stay. There are concerns of breaking up a family. There are concerns as to whether or not people will be able to afford the $3,200 plus beyond the back taxes that they'll have to pay. How much of this becomes problematic when trying to make sure that it is fair on both sides?
Well, the reality is, if Congress makes the restrictions on becoming a guest worker too heavy, if the fines and the penalties are too great, or if they make it too difficult to legalize those who are already here, then they will just continue to live as undocumented people in this country, which is not a good situation, neither for them nor for the rest of the country. So, you know, there's an unwillingness upon the Congress to confront the reality that we have 12 million undocumented people in this country with children, and they're going to stay. They're not going to leave. The government has no ability to round them up. Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, is one of the few people who's willing to acknowledge this reality and talk about, well, what do we do given that? So I think there's a real disconnect between the reality on the ground of undocumented people in this country performing needed jobs and what this government is willing to do about it.
And that's part of what your conference was about. Again, the title, Rethinking Global Migration, New Realities, New Opportunities, New Challenges. Marcelo, tell us a little bit about why you guys decided to put this conference together and what you specifically talked about.
Well, there were really a number of reasons why we thought that it was appropriate to have the conference now, to have it in New York City, and to have it in a way that it involved voices other than the usual voices we hear today in academia, in policy circles, and in the media. We began really by inviting very eminent colleagues, policymakers from all over the world, the Honorable Mary Robinson, first woman president of Ireland, gave an address, a very thoughtful address, on the human rights aspects of global migration today, with a sharp focus on a number of the issues in the African countries facing huge problems relating to the brain drain. Our country, our economy, is today acting as a huge vacuum, really draining the elite in many countries, doctors from Ghana, doctors from the Philippines, nurses, that we simply don't invest any resources in terms of the formation of the human capital, and we generate tremendous gains by their ability to work, by their willingness to work in our country. We also thought it was very important to have a historical perspective. What we're facing today in the United States is certainly not new. 100 years ago, we had a rate of immigration that was much higher than immigration today. It was at different points in our history, up to 15% of our population was immigrant origin. Today, it's approximately 11%. We also wanted a comparative perspective. Many countries today have a rate of immigration that is substantially larger, greater than our own. Australia, the rate of immigration in Australia is 25%. Switzerland is about 24%. Canada. So we really wanted to have both a historical sense of what is new, what is different now, from what was going on 100 years ago in the Lower East Side, when millions and millions of other immigrants were coming to our country, and what and how what's going on today is different from what's happening in arguably all many other places in the world. For the first time in human history, all regions of the world are implicated in large-scale migration, either as countries sending people, as transit countries, or as countries of immigration.
Pedro, we should note, too, the interesting part of the conference is that you did not just focus on the United States. As Marcelo suggested there, you looked at global migration and talked about and explored the causes and consequences on an international basis for all of that. And we should also note that one of your keynote speakers was the Minister of Foreign Affairs for Mexico.
That's right. And I think it is important to understand that it is a global issue and that what we're seeing, in the same way as we're seeing the free flow movement of goods, of ideas, of technology, of disease, we're also seeing the free flow movement of people. and borders, that traditional boundaries that separated nations are becoming increasingly relevant. And I think it really forces all governments, particularly people who live in wealthy nations like the United States, to understand that the imbalance in wealth in the world is what really drives migration. People who are living in poverty in Latin America will do whatever they can to get to the wealth in this country. So one part of any attempt to reduce immigration has to be to look at the ways in which the United States contributes to the ongoing poverty in places like Mexico, where NAFTA has really exacted, I think, a great burden on farmers throughout the Mexican agricultural area.
Marcelo, real quick for me, with less than a minute to go, give me a sense of what you walked away from after hearing people talk at the conference. Is there a sense of optimism, particularly when you look at the immigration situation here in the United States?
There's a sense of cautious optimism, I would say. I think the real elephant in the room is whether the Republicans will, in the House, will make a deal with the Senate. The entire conference can be seen via webcast. At Immigration Studies at NYU, and you can look at the discussions, you can look at the contributions, and make up your own mind.
All right. Our friends from New York University, Marcelo Suarez Orozco and Pedro Noguera, and of course they are regulars on our roundtable. Glad to have them then and glad to have them today. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Coming up, guilty verdicts all around for the men considered the architects of the Enron collapse. And what do Paul McCartney and 50 Cent have in common? The answer might surprise you. Those topics and more on our roundtable.
Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.